We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may
the legs. reconciles both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. Through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple to the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The only begotten. back half of Frank's story. Frank's story is a story that's been split in half at the beginning of the story, the end of the story. You split it in half, and then you put, like, a meat in a sandwich. You put another story in the middle. And those two stories, the frame and then the center story, interpret each other. Mark will do this sometimes. I'll give you an example while we're reading here in a few weeks of the Jesus cursing fig tree. You guys remember that? He's with his disciples, and he goes over to this fig tree to see if there's any fruit on it. And there's no fruit on it, so Jesus says, may you wither and die, so that may you never bear fruit again. And then a little bit later, they come along and they see that the tree is actually dead, withered. And his disciples say, look at that, what you did. But in between that, so that's the beginning of the story, when he curses the fig tree, the end of the story is when they see that the fig tree is dead. But Mark slides in between these two slices of narrative bread, the story of Jesus cleansing the temple. Jesus goes in there and casts out the money changers. And so what you're supposed to do is you're supposed to let these stories interpret each other. Jesus is cleansing the temple. Why? Because it's not bearing fruit. Same reason he cursed the fig tree. Well, we got something similar going on here this morning. Two Sundays ago in the gospel reading, Jesus sends the disciples out on mission. Two by two, cast out demons, they heal the sick, and preach the gospel. And now today, right at the beginning of our reading, they're coming back. They're coming home to report to Jesus, say, look, this is what happened. We had really, really good success. A sandwich in between these stories is the gospel reading from last week, which was John the Baptist being executed by Herod. So what do these stories have to do with each other? The story of Jesus sending his disciples out on mission and the story of Herod killing John the Baptist. Well, it goes like this. So Jesus is on mission. You guys are aware of this, right? Jesus stole. What Jesus is trying to do is not to get you to heaven when you die. He doesn't have like this. He's not creating this plan for you to escape this world someday, to get away from this nasty fallen world and to live in a beautiful, perfect, bodiless existence with him. What Jesus is doing is Jesus is on a mission to fix everything. Everything that our sin screwed up, Jesus comes here to repair. This is why he doesn't tell blind people, hey, just relax, you're fine, you're blind now, someday soon you'll die and you'll go to heaven and you'll be able to see. No, Jesus heals the blind. So Jesus sends his disciples on this mission because Jesus is determined to rule over all things. And now right in the middle of this story is the story of the fake king, Herod. What's Herod doing? Herod's cooped up in his palace. No contact with the common people. He's got all his mucky-mucks with him. And he's throwing this massive party where he's eating tons of food and watching young girls dance sensuously. And he's trying to, ingratiate these people and impress them because he wants more political power. And political power comes from getting power from people who have power. So there he is, question for men, all the concerns of his citizens, trying to gain more power for himself. Meanwhile, what is the real king doing? The real king is sleeping out in the open. The real king is hooking. The real king is knee-deep in the concerns of the average person. The real king is feeding all the hungry, while the fake king is sitting in his palace feeding himself. You see what's going on here? This is a contrast between the real king and Jesus, who is concerned about us, who is concerned about his creation, who is trying to fix everything, and the fake king, who only cares about himself and his own political power. This is a good reminder for us. Every time it comes around election year, every time you think about politics and you're going for what your politicians are going to do, that all the fake kings never want to serve the people. They only serve themselves. The true king will always serve us. Alright, that's the theological underpinning of this. Jesus is on a mission to be the king of the universe. But now, the story itself is about the disciples, right? It's about Jesus' mission, yes, but it's about the disciples who have been put on this mission. Jesus gives his disciples his authority to go out two by two and cast out demons and heal the sick and preach the gospel. And today at the gospel reading, he's going to put his disciples on a mission again. Feed all these hungry people. So that's where we're at. What I want to do is I want to really quickly give you three things that text tells us about mission. Because this isn't just about Jesus' disciples, right? This isn't just an interesting historical anecdote about what's this interesting miraculous invention that Jesus and his disciples went on to the miraculous of these people. This is a call you and I to be on mission as well. It's a call you and I, we are a part of Jesus' mission, we will reign over all things. So what can this tell us about our mission? First of all, it tells us this. Mission, Christian mission, grows out of hunger. So you know the story, all these hungry people have no access to food, Jesus feeds them, right? Do you remember the beginning of the story? The beginning of the story goes like this. The apostles return to Jesus and start to talk about everything they've done and taught. And Jesus says to them, come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while. For many were coming and going, but they had no leisure even to eat. So the people are, the Jesus' disciples have been so busy on mission, so excited about what's happening, they come back and report to Jesus. Jesus sees that they're run down. And he says, hey, let's get away for a while by ourselves and relax. We haven't even had time to eat. So the disciples are tired, the disciples are hungry. Jesus is concerned about them physically, so he's going to call them away to recharge. But then mission happens. They get in the boat, they head across the lake, they get away from the people where they've been ministering. And the people see where they're headed, and they start to circle the lake to meet him over there. And when they get over there, Mark says he can see the people on the hills, you know, and they're rushing to the shore, and they're like sheep. That a shepherd. This is language, to go back to the talk about Herod, this is language from Numbers talks about sheep without a shepherd. First Kings does, Ezekiel does. It's always language about the people of Israel without a leader, or with a leader that's a bad man. So once again, it's a reminder. These people have no king. Their king is absentee. Their king is feeding his fat face on them. Jesus sees this, and he has to help them. There's no time for relax. There's no time for being hungry. And in fact, this is where ministry comes out best. Ministry for Jesus. Jesus' mission works best, not from a position of superiority, not from an act of charity. I myself have money, I'm better than you, so I will help you. I myself am more spiritual than you, so I will help you. Mission for Jesus happens best when it happens out of our own ability, when it happens out of our own. So you and I, as good postmodern Americans, we frequently talk about me time. You know, we need to recharge, we need to be away. Usually, you know, I have people talk about this. We have to work really hard, and you come home, you've been working maybe 60 hours, and you need to come home and relax. Or the kids have been a little crazy, you just need to step away from the wild, you'll be by yourself. You know, you need me time, right? There's actually no room for me time in mission. Because mission isn't about you. Mission isn't about your hunger. It's not about what you need. It's not why you're here this morning, right? I mean, Jesus is going to feed you. You guys know what the story looks like. You're going to get fed. But the purpose of mission is that there are other hungry people out there who need Jesus. And if your attitude is a me time attitude, you know, I need to get away. I can't serve other people. I need to help myself first. I'm no good to anybody unless I help myself. You're not going to be on a mission. So the first thing is that mission grows out of hunger. Mission, though, grows out of incompetence as well. Here's the difference between hunger and incompetence. Hunger is your own need. Incompetence is your recognition that you have no way to fill your own need or the needs of anybody else. And this is what happens in verse 35. Jesus says to his disciples, so the disciples come to Jesus and say to him, look, we're hours from anything. We're out in the middle of the desert. We're in a desolate place. And the hours now, like, send all these people away so they can go to the surrounding countryside and go to buy themselves something to eat. But Jesus says to them, yeah, good plan, guys, but you give them something to eat. They have no food. And they've got no money. And they say to Jesus, we're supposed to come up with 200 denarii. 200 denarii is about 8 months worth of wages for the average worker. So, you figure that out. What are you looking at there? $20,000, $25,000. So, if we come up with $25,000, where are we going to get that? And Jesus says, how much food do you have? You guys know the story. They say, all we got is these 5 loaves Jesus does not let them get out of jail. You go and you feed them. You're hungry, and you're incompetent to feed yourself and feed anybody else. It's not a disqualification from mission. It's not all the time. Can you help out with BDS? Why? Well, that's not very good with your kids. You know? That's really not my thing. Would you like to be a part of this ministry of church? I'm working real hard right now, so I'm busy at work. I just don't have time for that. You know, I'm kind of worn out at night. You know, but maybe in about a year, if things really kind of calm down at work, maybe I can be involved then. You know, Jesus is leading that person to develop that relationship with at work to evangelize, to share the gospel with them. But you're having like, I don't know that, you know? And I've always thought, I've always wanted to take that. Seminar or study on evangelism or apologetics, and never got an answer. I know that you're going to ask these questions, and I'm not going to know the answers. So, you know, I need to grab myself a C.S. Lewis book or a Francis Schaeffer book, and I need to read through that, and then I'll be talking. Then I'll be a part of the talk. So, this conversation a lot with 20 somethings. Hey, you know, when, or you ever think about getting married and having kids? But no, I'm not ready for that. Of course you're not. Nobody ever is. You're never at a place where you're competent to be a spouse, competent to be a parent, competent to do evangelism, competent to work at a BBS or teach a Sunday school to help out a mission. You're never at that place. You never have the money to feed everybody. You don't have the money to feed yourself. You're hungry and everybody else is hungry. But that's no excuse. Jesus is standing there in front of you saying, you go and feed. Your hunger and your incompetence, far from being a disqualification to mission, is actually a prerequisite for mission. The disciples had it right. We can't do this. What they had wrong is that, so we're going to check out. Because here's the third thing. It's not that you know this, right? It's not your mission. Your hunger and your incompetence have nothing to do with it. This is Jesus' mission. Jesus is going to do it. Jesus is going to do your marriage. Jesus is going to do your relationships. Jesus is going to do your evangelism through you. The end of the story, the disciples end up feeding 5,000 people. But they do it because Jesus is standing behind them, breaking the bread, handing it to you. And then you hand this stuff out. They don't know where it's coming from or how it's getting there. But all they know is that this Jesus guy is on mission, and they get to be a part of it. Yes, you are incompetent. Yes. You are broken. You are fallen. Yes, you are hungry. But if you let yourself go on mission with this Jesus God, you will have more bread than you know what to do with. Amen.
Thank you. Merciful Lord, no need of ours to seek your notice or provision. Remember in mercy the hungry and homeless, the lonely and frightened, the sick and the grieving. Especially this week we ask for Stanley and Joe, Lydia Fenton, the family and friends of Will Mitchell, and the family and friends of Karen Ray. Open your hand, Lord, and satisfy the desire of each hurting soul and of every living thing. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Gracious God, your Son once set a feast by miraculously multiplying 5 loaves and 2 fish to feed a multitude. Through the miracle of the Eucharist, he continues to feed the church's own body and blood for our forgiveness. Strengthen our faith by this food, that we may ever be with the Lord, who is our shepherd. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
Give thanks to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is true of good, right, and salutary, which is at all times and in all places. Give thanks to you, Holy Lord Almighty, Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who ascended above the heavens and sitting in your right hand poured out the promise of the Holy Spirit on his disciples. For all this, the whole earth rejoices with exceeding joy. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we love and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Amen. Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. Christ's blood.